This is a recall of the Tuesday night, March 11th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP for the world's best customer service. It's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. 888-876-5593. But every now and then you read a story where you say, who the hell would even think of this? All right, Michigan. And it happened just recently. Tragic. Absolutely tragic. Almost unbelievable. A 10-year-old boy lost his life. His foster mother was intent on punishing him. The foster mother, by the way, had only had the child about a month. And apparently the boy was acting a little unruly. And he threw himself on the front lawn of the home. And so the foster mother thought, well, I'd better call the caseworker. But first, and this is where she goes off the rails, she decides I'd better discipline him. Now, the foster mother weighed 340 pounds. The punishment was to sit on the child. So apparently, the foster mother is Jennifer Wilson. The child was Dakota Stevens. She informed the police that Dakota had run away from home earlier that day and was behaving poorly, throwing a tantrum on the lawn and acting out when she brought him back from a neighbor's house. And so she sat on him while she dialed his caseworker. The boy, as you would expect, screamed, except he eventually stopped moving. Now, what does the foster mother think? Does she think, get up right now? No, she thinks, oh, he's just faking it. Well, that's until she looked over and noticed that his eyelids had rolled over. And that's right, pale eyelids and et cetera and so forth. And so the court affidavit did note that Wilson appeared visibly distraught. Well, I guess. And so the child was airlifted to a nearby hospital and they were unable to save him. He was removed from life support a couple days later. As I say, a mere month after he'd been placed in foster care. And so what is really interesting is they've got video. Authorities uncovered disturbing footage from a Ring camera that shows this foster mother not only sitting on the child, but sitting on his head and neck. What exactly did she think was going to happen? And audio was included in this Ring camera. They heard the boy's desperate cries as they gradually faded away. Yeah, realizing the gravity of the situation, she instructed one of her other foster children to call 911. Yes, she has more. The good news is that the other three children she was fostering are out of the home, and her license is suspended. Yeah, under a review for a permanent revocation. If she doesn't get that, I don't know what would qualify. But yeah, sit on the kid's neck and head as a form of... Who thinks of this stuff? Well, apparently a woman in Michigan. All right, plenty more to discuss, but Cindy has her new cat. We asked her to weigh in. Her previous cat has crossed the Rainbow Bridge, and so Saturday she picked up a new cat, fostered a new cat, or maybe it was Sunday, but over the weekend. And the deal is, the last we heard, she was thinking of changing the cat's name. All right, we'll see how that goes. So, Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I did. I got dressed real nice and put cosmetics on and put my cat, my pink quartz cat ring on and got dressed. And I never even got to the PetSmart from all the texting from this woman I was supposed to get the cat from.
What?
And I'm like, well, yeah, but I got a different cat on Sunday. But then, I'm a real go-getter before I got disabled, and I don't give up.
All right, well, now here's the first thing. You didn't need to get painted up and decked out for the cat. The cat's not going to know either way.
I know, but that's not it. I mean, you have to put on a good face for the people you're picking up the cat from.
I don't know. Most of them are so glad to get rid of the cat,
well,
it doesn't matter.
It worked out that I did that because, okay, so she's like, well, come at, I was supposed to come at 11 o'clock. So,
all right.
I'm like,
we don't need the details. The bottom line is that didn't work out. Now tell me about Sunday.
Well, yeah, that's it. I was supposed to, yeah. And then she changed it to 2 o'clock, and I did all my shopping at Walmart.
We don't care, Cindy.
I know.
That didn't work out. We're moving on to Sunday now. So start with Sunday.
That was Sunday. And then she didn't tell me what kind of payment it had to be.
She said we just take
check or cash, and I'm like, well, I would have to go all the way back home.
All right. We don't care why that didn't work out. Get to the cat you have. How did that work out?
Okay, well, then I came home, and then I'm like, okay, I'll go to the PetSmart on Tui Avenue. So I went there, and she took one look at me because I looked so nice. And just, I didn't even have to give her my driver's license or fill out the forms or anything. I just gave her $150, and she gave me the cat.
So what kind of, that's fine, but you haven't told me about the cat yet. What kind of cat? What's the cat's name? How old is the cat? Tell me about the cat.
The cat's name is Phoebe. She's white and gray. The other cat was too heavy to bring up three flights of stairs, you know. To the third floor.
Anyway. All right.
This cat's a little bitty female.
How old?
And she's between 2 and 4. She's supposedly 3. She's had all, you know, for $150. She had so much, you know, deep.
All right.
Deep treated for fleas and everything.
So you said she was very little. So this is a 3-year-old cat. How little is the cat?
Well, it's a little female. You know, she just happens to be a smaller female.
All right, very good. So, have you bonded with said Phoebe as yet?
Yeah, she's real sweet. She's and the thing about it is, you know, I guess some people would say, why would you get another cat right away?
Because you're crazy. No, we know that. All right, now never mind that. So let's get to it. So the cat's working out, and you're going to be keeping Phoebe.
Yeah.
All right.
Lovely.
Excellent. Excellent.
The only thing about her is she's a little, you know, little witch. I think she might want to jump on the stove. So when I'm cooking something on the stove, she has to sit with me in the living room in my lap. You know, I got to hang on to her.
Do you know anything about her past life?
I haven't looked at her papers yet. It was such a... Yeah, she was found outside. She's not feral because she's just not.
All right.
And, she's been, you know, everything... She's been sick.
You know, wait. Hang on. John has a suggestion.
If the cat wants to jump on the stove, put a big sheet of aluminum foil on it with a shiny side up. If she ever jumps on, she'll never go again.
There you go. That is a good idea. Here's the deal.
What did he say?
All right, I'm going to tell you, and this will work. If the cat wants to, it will. If the cat wants to jump on the stove, put aluminum foil across the top of the stove, shiny side up, so that it's real shiny.
Oh.
She'll only do it once. You will have broken her. You will have broken her of the habit.
Okay, and I have a song that's real nice. If you want another song, I don't know if you want. I'd like to get to know you by Spanky
and Our Gang. Yes, it's a big hit. All right, we'll try to play it for you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it.
Taking my call.
All right. Good luck with Phoebe. Bye-bye. All right. So yeah, Phoebe. So meanwhile, if you have cat suggestions for Cindy, so it worked out. She's got Phoebe, a lighter cat. Well, that's probably good. I wasn't going to continue the conversation, though. I did wonder why she was going to adopt a cat that she couldn't carry upstairs. But never mind. All right. Okay. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We're going to talk to Marianne in Chicago. We've got room for you as well. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine right here on WGN Radio.
There's a new girl who's just moved in my neighborhood. I said a new girl who's just moved in my neighborhood.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, the Accents, New Girl, 1964 on MPAC, one of the Leaners labels. Yes, a local Chicago hit, and I thought about playing it because I had gotten an email from Frank saying that he wanted to know about Enchanted Garden by the Accents, and I'll play that next, and I wasn't sure if he was going to be listening, so I figured I'd play my favorite Accents record. And you know what disc jockey he was listening to? Cute Fez Necky with a Mellow Fern, I guess. All right, so good deal, or at least Bernice Williams, who wrote that, was listening to him. Yeah. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Marianne in Chicago, what's up?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Well, I have been a heck of a lot better.
Why, what's going on?
Well, not this past Monday, but the Monday before. I apologize that I took so much time on trivia night.
Well, that's fine. Tell me.
That night, I fell in my living room and got my arm twisted in my walker.
Oh, no.
And laid on the floor for 10 hours screaming for help.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
My upstairs neighbor finally heard me and got in my apartment, and she looked at me. Her eyes were as big as saucers. She said, I'm calling for help. And
yeah.
I have trouble with my right rotator cuff to begin with. And the paramedic said, relax your arm. I'm going to pull it out. He yanked my arm so hard, Raleigh.
Oh.
I never screamed so loud in my life.
Oh, I'm in pain just hearing this.
Oh, God. So then they said, you're going to the hospital. I said, no.
Yeah.
Let me just calm down and sit down and collect myself. Well, I wasn't paying attention. I went over to my recliner. Didn't look behind me, went to sit down, and fell on the floor.
Oh, no. Wait, were the paramedics still there?
They were out in front. My neighbor ran and got them because with my shoulder being messed up, it's not like I can just push myself up.
Right.
So they said, you're going to the hospital. I'm like, no, please, please. And they picked me up, put me in one of them chairs, and took me to the hospital. So I was overnight, hated every minute of it, didn't sleep a wink. Food was terrible. I kept begging to go home. They're like, why do you want to go home? And I said, I will be more comfortable in my own bed.
Right, absolutely. And you'd be eating what you wanted.
And I'm not laying in my bed with IV needles stuck in me and,
yeah,
you know, pinching me every time I move. So they finally released me that night. And my sister came and got me. And the whole time when they were lifting me in bed and doing this and that, and I'm yelling about my shoulder, they're like, did that happen when you fell? I said, no. This is ongoing for over a year.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the fall. And then when I was getting changed, you know, not to be too graphic, but I looked down. My one breast looked like somebody had taken a lit cigarette and burnt me all over.
Oh, jeez.
I said, what did you guys do to me? She said, you came in like that. I'm like, and this was not addressed and cleaned up and put some ointment on it? I said, look at these blisters all over.
Now, did that happen from you being twisted up in the walker?
Probably from struggling.
Yeah.
To try to get up.
Yeah, yeah. I would think the arm actually was probably more important at that moment than anything else.
Well, because my arm was stationary, it didn't hurt.
Yeah, well, hurt or not, you know, this was a traumatic thing. Oh, my good God. Well, now you've had several days. How are you feeling now?
Well, they've had a nurse come in a couple times, take my vitals. Mm-hmm. An OT showed up Friday, a PT showed up Friday.
Okay.
They said they were going to get a woman out here to help me shower because
yeah,
I can't lift my arm to wash my hair.
Right.
There's parts of my body I can't reach. I mean, I stunk to high heaven. I finally got myself in the shower and did the best I could.
You're right.
And there's still been nobody here to help me take a shower.
Yeah.
So,
oh, man, but did they address the blisters and the wounds on your breast?
No. No, you know, I'm a Virgo. That didn't make sense. That they said, yeah, you came in like that.
Well, regardless, okay, right, exactly. They, you know, do you have an attending physician? Do you have a doctor that you can go to?
I'm seeing him on Thursday.
All right, thank
you. You know, when you're in the hospital, your GP wants to follow up.
No, I know, absolutely. All right, so, yeah, you get the hospitalist in the hospital. All right, so Thursday you're going. Good, good, good. And, of course, he can order.
But on Valentine's Day, I fell in the parking lot of a restaurant I was at, and I think, remember I told you I think I cracked my pelvis?
Oh, my God. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. You're falling entirely too much. We'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Enchanted Garden.
WGN Radio. I'm Molly James. And yes, that was the first single for The Accents. And it was Frank who had emailed me, who said he wasn't sure. He thought maybe it's only in the lyrics, but Enchanted Garden, absolutely. That was The Accents. And that was their first single, too. And before they got with the Leaners and were on MPAC, and of course had New Girl, which was a pretty big local hit anyway, they were on Mercury in 1963 on that. And before, when I played New Girl, I said, well, you know who they were listening to. Maybe you don't. Herb Kent, the cool gent. Yeah. Cute Fez Nicky with a mellow fern. Yeah, if you were listening to WVON, you remember that phrase. But in any event, Enchanted Garden is what Frank wanted to hear, and I hope he was listening and got to hear it. So now we're talking to Marianne in Chicago, who clearly falls down far too much. All right, so now we're talking St. Patrick's Day. Seriously, all kidding aside, Marianne, falls, you know, when we're getting a little older, are serious, serious business, and you're having too many of them. What's going on?
Well, the one in the parking lot is because I only have good sight in one eye, so I have no depth perception. And as I'm walking to the car, I'm looking at the ground.
Right.
And the ground just got away from me, and I fell, and my friend that I was with, she's only 4'8". She goes, oh, my God, I can't lift you. And some man came running and picked me up, and I was like, oh, I'm okay. Just let me get in the car, and I'll calm down. And 3 days later, I started having pain, like I cracked my pelvis.
Right.
So I had an appointment with my ortho, but unfortunately, I was in the hospital at the time of that appointment. I had to cancel it. And today, it was so weird. In the mail, I got this envelope with my name and had a bunch of coupons in it, and one was for Life Alert.
Well, you're going to use that. I was going to get
yes,
to that.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I was going to get to that next. Friend. Yeah, even if you don't have a propensity to fall down, if you're living alone, Life Alert makes all the sense in the world. And it doesn't have to be that. There are other services that do the same thing, but a services that can monitor you and call. Actually, the Apple Watches have a feature that can do that now as well. But whatever you use, you need this. You need this badly, and I'm glad you're going to call and that nothing worse happened yet. You are going to see your ortho about x-raying the pelvis, I'm sure. Now,
Well,
hopefully sooner rather than eventually.
First I want to see the GP.
Well, that's fine. And, you know, he can order the x-ray, too. It's a simple...
Yeah, but then I'll still be going to either Lutheran General... Or I had set up the appointment in Morton Grove for Illinois Bone and Joint, which is where my doctor is that did my hips.
I'm sure you can go where you want to go. You just need to get the prescription for it.
But I just need to stay out of the hospital.
Well, right, understood. But there's...
Then I was upset because I'm laying in the hospital and I'm like, what was the answer to the trivia question?
Oh, geez. Oh, geez.
A man does it in the bedroom and a woman does it in the kitchen. So what was it?
Commits murder.
Get out.
That's it. They're more likely. A woman is more likely to commit murder in the kitchen, and a man is more likely to commit murder in the bedroom. But what I said all along, it was very unlikely anyone was going to do it. You see, people didn't glom onto that clue. So in any event, that's
And I watch all these crime shows. You think it...
Well,
I would have noticed that.
They don't usually mention too many statistics on that because most of those crime shows are disguised soap operas anyway. But
a lot of them are awful real stories because then they tell you the guy they caught, how much time they spent in jail.
Oh, that. Or then if it's Law and Order, of course, they have a disclaimer saying it's not based on a real story, but you know that it is. All right. So now here is the deal on this. You mentioned therapy. Are you going to have an occupational therapist come to your house?
They already won an OT and a PT on Friday.
Is the OT coming back?
They said they were.
Okay, here's what
I haven't heard from anybody since Friday.
When you see the OT, this is important, and this is the therapist you want to talk to about it. You mention with your compromised vision that your depth perception sucks and you want workarounds. And she can absolutely work with you to train you on how to maneuver because of that.
Well, I've had this problem with my eye since.
Yeah, I understand that, but clearly you're falling.
Like whatever. It was just a fluke.
Yeah, no, there's no such thing as a fluke. Talk to them about ways you can better handle this. Because
yeah, it wouldn't hurt to get a new prescription on my glasses either.
Well, if you can, you know. So, you know, if it's correctable. But
well, when they took the cataract out of my right eye,
okay,
yeah. The lens they put in is a little bit stronger than it used to be.
All right.
So even with the macular hole, if I take my glasses up, it's clearer on that eye without my glasses.
Okay. Well, and that may be the case, but yes, going to a good ophthalmologist to find out what they can do is good as well. You want to do everything you can to prevent the next fall, because so far, this has almost been, you know, it's a terrible thing that it happened, but you can almost laugh it off and say, I'm fine, I'll just sit in the chair. Well, the time may come when you're not fine, so we want to prevent that before it happens.
Yeah, and I have Alexa,
All right.
I kept screaming, call 911, well, and she says, this is emergency. Because I don't have it hooked up to make phone calls.
Yeah, well, but you'll
my
do.
My mother had Life Alert.
Yeah,
and she was hard of hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And she fell in a room that was away from the box that calls you.
Well, it's my understanding.
And they kept
you can
asking her, "Are you okay? Do you need help?" When she did not answer, they immediately sent the paramedics.
Yeah, they would absolutely.
And I used to tell her, "If I'm not home." And somebody comes to that front door and you look through the glass and you don't know them and you tell them to get off the porch and they don't, you hit that button and get in the other room.
All right.
Because then you can tell them to call the police.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're getting it handled. And keep me posted. Don't let any of this slide. Do get Life Alert or anything else of that ilk. Like I say, the watches with iPhones have emergency SOS on them. But whatever it is you want, as long as you hook it up and it will work, wear that lantern around your neck.
They have one, too, where you also, if you go out, like, for a walk around the block or to the park, you take it with.
Yeah.
If you fall outside, it'll call help, too.
Yeah, of course. There's that's what I'm saying. You've got many options there. So
they didn't have that when my mother was alive.
Well, but
just the
they
necklace.
Got it. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons they have it now. So do it, because.
And my first night home, I slept like a baby.
Yeah, well, of course. Of course you
and
did.
And before I fell asleep, I heard you play a song that Eduardo had requested.
Ah.
Do you remember what it was? Because it was really pretty.
No. You know, I do these shows, and the minute I'm done with the shows, I'm done with it. But I can maybe look it up, because I usually can identify
it. Was it Jerry Butler by some chance?
I did play some Jerry Butler, but I don't think that... maybe he did request a Jerry Butler.
It was a really pretty song.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I didn't hear, you know, I didn't hear when you had said what the name of the song was.
Oh, I think he requested Ain't Understanding Mellow, the Jerry Butler and Brenda Lee Eager. It's called Ain't Understanding Mellow. It was on Mercury in 1961. I think that's what he requested.
Okay, that was a beautiful song.
Well, there you are. There are so many. And
then, you know what I kept thinking about? While I'm laying there, I'm thinking about that guy that got his arm stuck in the mountain.
I missed this.
And he cut his arm off to save his life.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, if I only had a knife.
No. That's absolutely...
I know I wouldn't have done it, but I'm like, that's how I felt.
Yeah, I think you're talking... That was Aaron Ralston. And I don't know if he actually, he did have to, I guess, cut off part of his right arm. Just, I don't even want to think about it.
Well, it was called 72 Hours, I believe.
Well,
movie that they made.
See, I don't know about the movie. I know nothing about the movie. I just know about the guy.
And has Leah come back?
No.
No?
Nope.
You're kidding. As long as she's listened to your show?
Yeah, well, I have no idea. And she's welcome to call anytime she likes. And, you know, maybe she's gone on and done other things.
Maybe, but, I mean, she was, like, dedicated to the show.
Yeah, there you go.
We want to hear some of your stories.
All right. Yeah, right, exactly. Hopefully she is alive and doing well, and she's, of course, welcome to call anytime she wants.
And then I thought of poor John when he was laying in the yard.
Oh, yeah. Well, fortunately, that wasn't for too long. Had he told me,
no,
I'd have been out there immediately.
That's scary.
Well, and you have, like I say, you have, unfortunately, a propensity for this falling down, so you're going to do everything you can to avoid doing it and to have help when you do.
Oh, yeah, especially because when I worked in the nursing homes.
Yeah.
I worked in the beauty shop of the nursing homes, and my boss told me, you know, some women would come in and they have a yellow band around their wrist that said fall risk.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And she said, when you get up there in age and you start falling that much, she said, it's usually the end of the line.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want this to be the end of the line, you know, with this falling business.
Well, the good news is nothing happened that you cannot survive at this point, and now you know you need to control it. So definitely get Life Alert, talk to the OT, talk to your doctors, and don't look at it like, oh, it's just a freak thing. No, you have a propensity for falling, so let's fix this.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, good deal. Keep me posted.
I'm going to get a big bubble wrap.
There you are. That'll be interesting.
One of those big hamster balls. Get in.
Oh, lovely. Don't go there. All right, keep me posted, and good luck.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Oh, the problems of being in a body. I tell you what. Yeah, that's right. This corporeal state is not what it's cracked up to be. But there's many things that can be lovely, and I'll talk to J.J. and Morse about Chicago music, but before we get to music, I want to talk about the CC Skywave, which is just a wonderful choice for emergency radio, and also just for radio in general, because it's lovely. It'll fit in the palm of your hand, and I was looking for their official words on this, though I usually don't need them because I am well aware of these radios. And the SSB2, that stands for single sideband. It is the ultimate companion in emergency radio. It fits right in the palm of your hand. In fact, I'm looking at one right now in their catalog. You can go online to ccradio.com, ccradio.com, and follow along with me. If you can't go to ccradio.com, you can call them, and they'll send your catalog in the mail, and that's 800-522-8863. Now, once you take a look at it, it weighs only 8 ounces. The reception is excellent, and you know, that's the thing that all of Bob Crane's radios have in common. Like many of us, he was disgusted with the state of radio reception years ago, and he thought, I can do better. And he did. And every radio he comes out with, and there's a ton of them with different features, and they're all just neater than the next. But the thing they all have in common is terrific AM and FM reception. It will just blow you away. But not only that, with the SSB2, you get access to important communications that your smartphone won't get, like the emergency single sideband transmissions. Maybe it's just you want to use it as a travel radio, because that's neat too. You get, I think you do get the aviation band. I know you do on the Skywave too, but you do. Okay, good. You get the aviation band and a scannable VHF aviation band, which is neat, and the NOAA weather band, of course, and an alert, so you'll know when there's a problem, and you can listen on right on the radio, because you'll be pretty impressed with how good it sounds for a speaker this small. And not only that, you can also use the CC earbuds, which come with it, and that's just incredibly good quality. It's got a rotary volume dial and stereo headphone jack and a clock, alarm, a timer. When I say memory presets, I probably should specify 400 memory presets. Yeah, adjustable squelch, lighted LCD, and also 9 and 10 kilohertz tuning. You know, in the States, we're all 10 kilohertz, and that's true in Canada and Mexico, but most of the world is on 9 kilohertz spacing for AM, and you'll be able to use this anywhere. Runs on a couple AA batteries for 65 hours, and there's an optional AC charging device if you want one. But you get, what's really neat, you get the terminal antenna adapter for shortwave. You get a portable 23-foot shortwave shortwave antenna. You get the original CC buds, get a leather, well, fake leather carrying case, but it's nice. And, of course, you get the CC Skywave SSB2. It is a terrific radio. And if you can go to ccradio.com, you can read all about it. And, again, if you can't, give them a call. Great customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. So that's ccradio.com. You look at the CC Skywave SSB2. I think you'll be as impressed as I am. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
For you, it's like talking to a wall. You get no response at all. A sad, sad feeling. Yes, it is.
Radio. Yeah, I see on the screen JJ and Morris wants to talk about Chicago music, and I thought I'm going to play one of my all-time favorite Chicago songs, and that's Cicero Blake, and that was on Renee, not the Philadelphia Renee, but the Chicago Renee that Leo Austell owned. And Sad Feeling, yes, 1964 on Renee, Cicero Blake, and I just thought, well, if that isn't quintessential Chicago soul, nothing is. And so we're going to pick it up right there after the news and talk to JJ right here on WGN Radio. Paying attention, you probably thought I played Cicero Blake again. You're saying, that's the same backing track. Well, yes, it is. And 3 years later, Sounds of Dawn came up with How Many Times. Now, the interesting part of the Cicero Blake record, Sad Feeling, is that Barrett Strong wrote it. The interesting part of the Sounds of Dawn record, which you should see Barrett Strong somewhere in those writer credits. Oh, no. No, no. You see Kay Griffin. And that's Kenny Griffin, who was in the group. But both of them are on a Leo Austell label. Gee, what a shock. So Cicero Blake on Renee and Sounds of Dawn on Twin Stacks. And I think the only reason that you didn't hear Barrett Strong howling all the way from Detroit over that was because, of course, neither of them were hits. Yeah, but both of them were pretty good. 888-876-5593. JJ is in Morris, Illinois. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, good evening, Raleigh. And anytime I hear Barrett Strong not getting his due, it makes me very sad.
Because I know.
He was one of the most instrumental people up there with Berry Gordy that made the sounds that we love so very good.
I agree.
And so the reason I was inspired to call you this evening
yes.
was because I had the opportunity, and I suppose it's the best-kept secret that's not the best-kept secret in radio, that some of us old radio guys that aren't on radio anymore call you and say hi and say JJ and DJ because we're JJ DJs and whatever.
Yeah.
But I actually came into a lovely collection of compact discs that used to belong to a station, and I'm not going to say the call letters, but okay. everybody used to refer to it as the Voice of Labor.
Okay.
And actually got moved down into the town and where I live here in Morris and was put on FM.
Uh-huh.
And it was super the Voice of Labor.
Uh-huh.
And they brought all the old DJs down. This was back in the 1990s.
Right.
So anyway, what I was going through was these CDs with the original numbers that a guy I used to work with painstakingly put on there to catalog it.
Uh-huh.
And it was the best of the Buckinghams. And it has all these lovely songs that the Buckinghams did. But as I was listening to it this evening before I turned on your program, on track 10, there was a song called Foreign Policy.
Uh-huh.
And it was very, and I heard by that aha inflection, you're probably familiar with it.
Yeah.
It has psychedelic stuff in it and the voice of John F. Kennedy in it. And it was a very big diversion from what the Buckinghams usually did, which was, you know, bubblegum, you know, we're having fun going to all the different parties across Chicago, and everybody's seen the Channel 11 documentary with the groovy lady with the hat and the jacket, and everybody had so much fun. But they were actually doing something political in that record. So if that's a record you can come up with and play for these folks at some point in time in the future, that'd be cool.
Oh, I definitely I definitely have it. Because I like Jim Holvey, who wrote a lot of the Buckingham stuff, and I think he did a great job with it. And Foreign Policy yeah. appears as a B-side. I don't know. The version I have actually came from Greece on CBS Records, so I don't know if it's the B-side in America because I don't have that, but it is the B-side of Susan.
Yes, Susan, and that is my sister's name, which is lovely.
Okay, so did they do that as a B-side on the stateside version as well?
Well, that I'm not sure of, but I'm still sure that my sister's name is Susan, okay. That's my favorite Buckingham song, because my sister's name is Susan, and she's a lovely lady that works as a librarian. So.
Okay, I just looked it up. Yes, it is. Foreign Policy is the B-side of the U.S. version on Columbia of Susan as well.
All cool, right. cool. So, now, can I before I talk about my other musical thing, can I do a quick Rich Little for you and your listeners?
Okay, go for it.
It's an impression.
Yes. I'm waiting. Did we just lose our caller? I think so. All right. Well, that's a good punchline for it. All right. So good deal. And I'll try to get Susan on as well. 888-876-5593. Eduardo is in Tampa. Yes, you are. So, Eduardo, what's up?
Hey, Riley. Well, I forgot the lady's name that called, but she was right about Ain't Gonna Stand and Mellow.
Okay.
You played it last Thursday.
Yeah.
I was looking at your website.
Good.
Yeah. And the best part about that song is towards the end. That
okay.
is the best part of the song.
Okay.
So, yeah, thank you for the compliment.
Sure.
That's very nice. Yeah. A couple of things before I get into that. These states that I didn't know depended on electricity. CarMax, the Englewood, California, that went in there into the CarMax.
Uh-huh.
So the guy got upset because he didn't like the appraisal on the car.
Right.
So he hit the gas pedal. And went right in.
Yeah, right, exactly. So. Yes. Well, it's one way
so
to do it.
Yeah,
there's by the way, there's
yeah.
there's a video of that online. You can actually see it. And yes, upset with the appraisal. And KBC TV did it. I think television stations around the country. It was a Subaru Outback that he was driving, and he injured 8 people in the process.
Oh yeah, I got plenty of play during the weekend. Yeah. And by the way, I got my Kia Forte from Chicago Ridge CarMax.
Okay.
So that's.
Well, what's interesting is CarMax is in Inglewood, home of the Forum and all that. Well, they've decided they're not reopening. They'll have other locations.
You think?
Yeah, but not that one. Yeah, it was quite the moment Saturday afternoon. And, of course, they'll consider it an intentional act. It was right on La Cienega Boulevard, you know, busy street, lots of people driving by. This is not out of the way. This is right in the way. And unfortunately, of the 8, I think most of them were customers.
Yeah. So. And I had turned in a car myself before I got the Kia Forte because I used it for the whole transaction. So, I guess, you know, some people just really clip when they really don't like what they hear. So
I guess you get to that point, and that kind of worries me because it seems like everybody's living on their last nerve.
Yeah. So I didn't know. I think Texas, you can include this in this conversation because I think Texas depends on electricity from Mexico, I think I heard, or something like that. But I don't know, Minnesota, New York.
Yeah.
I think Dakota or something like that depend on electricity from Canada. I didn't know that.
Well, here's the deal. It's an integrated power grid, and it's been around almost as long as power has been. This grid has been integrated at least 100 years. And, now we, by the way, export to Canada as well when we're talking about this. Like, in fact, actually, the United States exports have been growing. Now, that not nearly what Canada exports to us, but, you know, we're exporting over 1,800 gigawatts. Meanwhile, Canada is, and we're importing from Canada about 3,300 gigawatts. So, you know, obviously, we're getting that. But could we do without it? Yeah. But right now, it wouldn't be as easy because it's an interconnected grid, and there are a number of things. But, you know, would it cause our cities to go dark? No. But it would be problematic, to say the least. And, Canada has quite the pipeline system, too. And they transport and deliver energy not only to Canadians, but to the United States as well. And, the CER there, that's the Canadian Energy Regulator, controls that. And, this is nothing new. And most of Canada's electricity is actually hydropower. I think it's either the largest or the second largest hydroelectric producer. And you could look that up because I'm sure that the internet has all sorts of things about it. But, they use, you know, wind and solar and nuclear, but not a preponderance of nuclear. So, they've got oil, obviously, but they don't refine it. Usually that is coming here to be refined. And part of that is because, it's been shale. It's the viscous sands like they have in Alberta and stuff. So I don't think Canada has that mining infrastructure, that refining infrastructure. So so that comes here. So there's a lot of interdependence. Could Canada exist without us when it comes to energy? Probably. Could we exist without Canada? Definitely. But again, it would be costly and inconvenient, but that's the deal.
Yeah, because I remember when Texas had those storms or something, or some kind of storm over there last year, a couple years ago, and then we thought, they depend on Mexico providing that service, so I guess that's not the first.
No, now it's not a big amount of power they're getting from Mexico, and that's a different way. They're getting it on DC power lines, actually. Texas has its own independent grid, and so they're getting some on Mexico, and they're Well, they're getting other things from Mexico as well, actually, which could probably be problematic. But there's always talk about this. Like, one of the things that's been talked about, it's never been interacted, but as you know, the West has severe water problems. And mm-hmm. what to do about it, you know, that's a big, big debate. And a lot of people say, why don't you desalinate? And there's a number of reasons we don't. We probably should. But there has been talk that we would pay wouldn't be a grid per se, but we'd pay for the piping if Canada would desalinate off their shores, and then we would get the water. So there's all sorts of things like that go on, and there are many of us who say yes, let's put it anywhere, but just get us desalination now.
I believe they brought that up with the thing, what happened with the LA fires. Desalination, maybe that might help.
Absolutely. Now, desalination, and you know, it's used a lot in the Mideast. Kuwait uses it almost exclusively. Got a lot of that in Kuwait, but it could be used here. It's costly. It's not cheap to do. But when you're talking about what we get from Mexico in terms of Texan, the place to look is Laredo. And I swear to God, if you drive to Laredo, you will be sure that you have crossed the border somehow and didn't notice it. I mean, the stop signs say Alta, you know, I mean, everything. You got a downtown. It used to have a Woolworths. I don't know if it still does. It might. You know, that you swear you are not in America, but you are. No shock that Laredo is getting its power largely from Mexico. There obviously you've got and it's the transformers as far as that goes, but you've got a lot of interdependency all the way around. And so when tariffs are suggested, and by the way, there's a lot of tariffs in effect, and this is almost getting political, and I don't want to go there, but if you can take a look at, say, agricultural tariffs, what Canada does to us for importing butter or milk or something like that, just take a look at that, your eyes mm-hmm. will roll around. But anyhow, that's the way we get it, and we always have, and no, it's not going to be a disaster. It's political football.
Yeah. Okay, Rolly. Well, thank you for the tutorial. Yeah.
All right.
I'll call back tomorrow.
Thanks for calling.
To the next caller, because I know you're off on Thursday. I heard that.
I am. Yes, there's apparently sports of some sort, but tomorrow we have three big hours.
I heard.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk tomorrow. Okay.
All right. So there's a lot of interconnectivity, but Texas prides itself on keeping its grid separate from its neighboring states. All right, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And JJ called back, so I wasn't sure whether your impression was supposed to be dead silence or not. JJ, are you there? No. All right, I don't know what happened to JJ, but it was nice talking to him anyway. All right, let's see what we got here. I think we got this, actually, and then we have Sherry, we have Floyd, we got Cindy, we got James, and we have room for you on WGN Radio.
Uncertainty is our heritage today. The sins penance demanded, the sinners have long since faded away. Children just waiting for the games to begin, with no thoughts of all the people down the street, thinking only we can win.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, JJ wanted to hear it, so why not? You know, not only was it the flip side of Susan, but it was also on the first Columbia album in 1967, Time and Charges. And okay, fine. So that's about all I'll say about it. So as long as I don't have to hear it again. All right. But and there were many, many wonderful Buckingham record. Yeah. Including, of course, Kind of a Drag, which is the first that really hit nationally. And a surprise to everybody else because it was on USA Records and it came out so fast they just left the imprint there while Columbia distributed it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Floyd is in Iowa. Welcome to WGN Radio, Floyd. Oh, wait a minute. Stay where you are. Stay in Iowa. Don't go anywhere. We got the news. And then we got to Floyd. We got Sherry and Cindy and James on WGN Radio.
But I'd like to get to know you.
Yes, I would.
But I'd like to get to know you.
If I could.
But I'd like to get to know
you. Finally I found, searching all around, just was not the answer. What I thought was true looked a bit like you. I figured I might chance her.
But I'd like to get to know you.
Yes, I would.
But I'd like to get to know you.
If I could.
But I'd like to get to know
you. All you need to say, she went on her way. Said it was all over. Well, it's been some time, and I guess that I'm just meant to be a rover.
But I'd like to get to know you.
Yes, I would.
Yes, I'd like to get to know you.
If I could. Well, I can't promise.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. You know, rarely do I like an alternate take better than the 45 version, but this might be one time. Spanky and our gang like to get to know you. It was an alternate take, 1968 on Mercury. Cindy in Chicago wanted to hear it. It's a great song. It falls apart at the end, but other than that, it's just a fine song. All right, now Floyd in Iowa. Back to Floyd. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, good to hear you. Hey, I'll tell you what, there was a guy that used to be the announcer for Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, Gary Owen.
Of course.
Now, I knew I'd heard that. Well, I knew I'd heard that voice before. He was on a cartoon that would come on with kids. I heard it called Space Ghost.
Uh-huh.
He was the guy that would do the intro for that Space Ghost when the intro music, and then, of course, at the end of the show, the exit. That guy was the same guy. Had to be. I didn't see the credits and such as that, but I knew that voice. And then the name Gary Owen, that was they had some kind of a tune in the movie Little Big Man, Dustin Hoffman, the Gary Owen, for the marching tune for the cavalry. But I want to get to something else. You've heard of Benny Goodman.
Yeah,
Benny Goodman,
first, let's talk about Gary. Gary was a world-class disc jockey, as you probably know or should know. And, he did a lot of voiceover, Space Ghost and Dymo Mutt and, all that stuff. And, of course, Laugh-In and Roger Ramjet and so much more. And, he was a terrific jockey. And I've talked about him often because he was one of these guys, when I talk about, gee, what do you want to do after you've been a success in radio? And if your answer is you want to stay in the same market forever, you better have another line of work. And when Gary was in L.A., he was working at KFWB first, which was a top 40 station, and nobody would hire him for voiceover because they just didn't hire top 40 disc jockeys. So he went over to Golden West, Gene Autry station, to KMPC, and started to get a ton of voiceover work. He also was a cartoonist, so he did a lot of drawing, too, which paid him some money on the side. But he was at Coil in Omaha in the early days, and Kim in Denver, and KEWB in Oakland, and he was at WNOE in New Orleans, and much, much more. So he was well-known.
The guy got around. Now, there's something else right quick. I just caught this by accident the other day on YouTube. A fellow named Vince Vega put together some video shorts that I'd never seen. It's the Benny Goodman song, Sing, 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 and it seems like he's coordinated that with the shorts and videos he used. I didn't know who that was at first. That was someone named Dorothy Dandridge. starts out in the dancing on that, mm-hmm. and then it goes into Buddy Rich is in it, Sammy Davis Jr., mm-hmm. Several bands I probably should know but don't, because it's almost like, where have I been? Well, in Iowa. But then it's like there's a whole universe of people I'd never... The swing scene, Goodman, that song... Sing, sing, sing. If I could hear you play that from with that Vince Vega.
Well, by the way, you don't think I'll play all of it. That would be an entire half hour of show. That is a long, long record. But I can try to maybe get some of the drum solo out of it or something. I used to have to play that crap, that was a big, big one. But it was a great bathroom record. I could not only go to the bathroom, but I could go to 7-Eleven.
Absolutely. But the other thing about that was when I caught it on the videos, I didn't realize so many people that he cut into there, but he mentioned the name of another guy, Louis Prima.
Well, of course.
Apparently this guy was world famous, and I'm just getting, where have I been? Iowa. But these people have been around, their names are known.
Well, yeah, Louis Prima wrote Sing, Sing, Sing.
There it is.
And
it is right there.
Of course, he put it out actually, I think, on Brunswick earlier on, and might have I don't know that did anything. But then, of course, the Benny Goodman recording with Gene Krupa on drums and all that was the quintessential version. But it was a Louis Prima record. So yeah.
Well, Rolly, it's always good to hear your show, and I sure hope that lady that fell. When I heard about it falling on her walk, she gets better.
I do too. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. So, yes, indeed. And sing, 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 I could say. That would come up and it would be, oh, this is great, a really long bathroom record. So I could probably clean the bathroom over that record that I've been inclined. All right, so 888-876-5593. We got Sherry in Naperville. Hey, Sherry.
Hi, hold on, let me take your speaker.
All righty.
Hi. Last night was after your show was over, and Frank Morano follows you.
Yeah.
And a lot of your followers also listen. And this morning I woke up and I was in such a frazzle. But the long and short of it is, this guy, Frank Morano, he's running for city councilman in, I want to say, New Jersey area, I'm not sure, or New York.
And he's still on the air?
He's on the air. And he replaced the other idiot that I complained about like 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay, and so I just looked this up, by the way. He's running for city council, the seat on Staten Island. But why I said he's on the air, you do understand that this will kick the equal time provision. In other words, anybody else who is a duly qualified candidate can ask for the same amount of time. That's going to be
really?
Yes,
well,
yes,
no,
that is the
problem,
law.
Though.
Well, that is going to be
the problem. He needs so many signatures to be on the ballot. And he was canvassing in some neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he was with a attorney of some resort for whatever reason. And this one woman, he later revealed, like, looks like a $600,000 house. And it was clean, and she had a dog, and there was no dog food. I mean, like, well kept.
Yeah.
He said that. But he said, not like he's a professional in this area at all. He said, she's mentally ill. What do I do? Who do I call? She said she had missing teeth. And the attorney said, no, those are rotting teeth. And she said that it was a dentist error in her youth or something like
all right.
that. And then, so I'm going to give grades to all your listeners who immediately called in. Laura, I don't know where she's from, but she's saying A double plus.
All right,
great. And she said, call like the church or the, she said normal things. Mark from Aurora called in. He gets an F minus. He said, call the police. And I'm like, oh, thank you not. Because they will come, they will call the fire department, and the fire department will take her to a, what do you call it? Like, not an insane asylum, but a thing where they have to keep you for a set, and cost her $80,000 in bills. And she's over nine, or she's over 80 or close to 90, according to him. And I'm like, why do you want to get involved? But it was bugging him. But I don't know if this is like a gimmick to get him. I helped this lady. He's going to crash this lady. Leave her alone. Somehow she's doing it and she's surviving, and probably her neighbors, because I had a neighbor.
All right. Well, I'm sure that it was well intentioned. It might not have been the advice that that you would think was appropriate, but I guarantee you it was well intentioned. And of course, you know, anybody who is taking advice from talk radio has to think twice anyway. The more suggestions, the merrier, and then check them out for yourself.
No, but what I wanted to do really was commend you, because we've had Stacy, and you asked everyone, and everyone called in, and they offered suggestions that she could mull over. And we've had Jim, and people, like, called in and gave phone numbers for helplines or whatever. You know how to coordinate all that. This guy needs a lot of lessons.
I haven't heard it, to tell you the truth, but I'm so intrigued by what you told me. Never mind anything about that. No. You don't understand what I'm intrigued about. Listening won't help.
Oh, okay.
What I am intrigued about only one thing here. If he is a bona fide candidate for office, this has triggered the equal time provision. And that means anybody else who is a bona fide candidate can legally ask for the same amount of radio time on WABC. That is the law.
Well, what I'm saying is he was canvassing a neighborhood, and I remember
I understand all that, but like I say, the only part of this that I find really interesting is that they're allowing him to be on the air doing this, and that
I just wanted to commend
you
and how you do everything, and how all your listeners chime in. And there was some guy I've never heard of before, Chuck from Rockford.
Oh, yeah.
He also gave. And I also want to state that come next Monday during trivia, this thing has completely changed all my answer for what women are known for and and men do more often.
Okay.
And whoever wants to call in first, my first answer is metal.
Okay. Well, you'll have to call.
Yeah, I will call, but
all right.
Meddle into other people's business and cause them trauma.
Mm. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
well, good deal.
I love you.
Yeah. Thanks,
and
Sherry.
John, thank you so much.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. Yeah. And the heads up that this guy's running for political office. Yeah. And I want to find out who else is running for this office, because it does kick the equal time provision. Now, of course, you don't have to, you know, ask if you're a competing candidate, but you can. Yeah. Normally. Because, you know, over the years, a lot of morning men have wanted to run for office, run for, you know, the mayor, or, you know, in 1964, Lee Sherwood for president or what have you, and Sherbert the Wonder Dog. But the deal is that if you are a candidate, your opponents can ask for equal time. And, I'm surprised. All right. So 888-876-5593. Now, Laura from Willowbrook. All right. Laura, so was it you who called?
It was me. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
But this now has me scratching my head. I've been listening to this guy for a while, and I just find his shows interesting. But what I found weird was, like, yeah, he's been... every show he mentions, he runs for political office and he's running for this. And I thought, yeah, and you're right. I never thought that, oh gosh, yes, you're supposed to have equal time.
Yeah.
So the whoever is running against them better be finding this out, because they definitely need to have time. And
if
I don't know. And I don't know if you find this creepy or not, but I thought it was a little creepy. He says, oh, yeah. And he says, when I was going to the door-to-door, this lady invited me in, and this guy, and they didn't say it was a lawyer. They just said whoever was helping him in his campaign. They went into this lady's house, and the lady's like, oh, I'm telling her all about this. And then he thinks he came just short of saying she's a nut job. And I thought, oh, my gosh. It was kind of creeping me out. But I told him, I says, well, if you do anything, I think the Department of Aging would work. So give that department a call. But I just thought the whole thing was almost sort of creepy. I didn't know if I believed this or not.
Well, but I'm still surprised. I just looked it up. There are three candidates who are going to face off in a special election for the Staten Island City Council seat. And it's coming up April 29th. And it's a guy named Clifford Hagen, a guy named Griffin Fasella, and Frank Morano. And all three are on the ballot and will be in the special election on April 29th. Now, why hasn't Clifford and Griffin asked for equal time?
Exactly. They're due a lot if they haven't.
If they want it, you don't have to take it, but if you want it, you can. Now, maybe the powers that be at WABC would be happy to give them the time. I don't know.
Very good question.
Yeah.
Good question.
Well, it's interesting to me. All right, good deal. Well, I appreciate info. Thanks.
All right, take care, Raleigh.
All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Tom, who's a first-time caller in St. Louis, right after this on WGN Radio.
Well, see Ryder. Just to see what you have done. Lord, 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 CC Rider, see what you have done. Well, you made me love you. Now your girl has come. What I say, well, I'm gonna buy
CC Rider
me a shotgun. Just as long as I am a tall, yeah, get me a shotgun. Just as long as I am a tall, what I say.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and Dave had never heard it. Dave had requested the other CC Riders. I said, I'll play a Laverne Baker. Unfortunately, that was remixed, and badly. I'll get the original 45 out. Sometimes laziness doesn't pay off. That's for sure, and there's far too many on this particular computer that are remixes, but we'll fix that eventually. Tom is a first-time caller in St. Louis. Welcome to WGN Radio. Good to have you.
Thank you. I listen often, and I wanted to clarify the situation about Frank Morano.
Yes, tell me.
He's been on WABC for about 5 years.
Uh-huh.
About 1 year ago, his radio show was syndicated to numerous other radio stations.
Understood, yes.
And so you can still listen to him every night, but it's only on the syndicated station.
Oh, so they've taken him off the local.
Yes.
Good. I was going to say, because this is District 51, and I can see where Griffin Fasella and Cliff Hagen are running against him. So they pulled him off. Now, let me ask you, I guess I should tune in, but what are they doing terrestrially on 770?
Oh, they're playing like reruns.
Of what?
They're playing the best of type of thing. From about, I think, 1 until 5 a.m., because that's his normal slot.
Hang on a minute. I got the news. Don't go away. Stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up right there. That makes a lot of sense. Good. I'm so glad to hear that. More news coming up on WGN Radio.
tonight. Now the rains are falling, yeah, the train are falling, ooh-wee. Yeah, lonesome whistle, blowing across the trussle, ooh-wee. Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe, where the four-wheel roll.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So it started when Dave on the North Side wanted to hear Blues in the Night, and we played him one of the earliest ones, Cab Calloway from 1941. Artie Shaw had the first recording of it, by the way, and also played my favorite, which is Johnny Taylor, and he said, well, I want to hear Joe Turner, and now he has on Atlantic, 1958. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. But Tom is a first-time caller. I don't know if he's still hanging on. Are you still with us, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for waiting. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I just looked it up during the news, and, you know, it never occurred to me that he'd continue to do the syndicated show, but why not? Because he's on some great affiliates, including KMOX, where you are, and CCO, and GN, and many others.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because after his appearance on WABC in New York was prohibited, but he's under contract to do his show, and so he's still doing the syndicated version, but he got a substantial cut in pay, which he's complained about.
Oh, well, he shouldn't. You know, I mean, it was his call. Now, interestingly, I think that the guy who owns WABC is also the guy who syndicates him.
Yeah, and so I think that guy's name is Katz.
Yeah, right, exactly. I cannot pronounce his name, Katz Mattis or whatever, to save my soul. But he was a fan of WABC and made a literal fortune in an unrelated industry and came back and bought it. And good for him.
Well, so he is collecting the money from the syndication, but Frank Morano is not getting all the money he was getting before.
Let's talk a moment. I do not believe that any of the radio stations that carry him, in fact, pay for it. It's a barter show. In other words, you run the commercials in it. You don't pay money. You run the commercials. And, of course, there is certainly money that comes in from those commercials, but it probably is in no way comparable to what they're able to generate on WABC.
Okay, well, thank you for clarifying that. But I don't know, I was just I'm kind of interested because Katz has actually endorsed one of his opponents.
Oh, I love that. That's going to be interesting. Which one? Was it Gregory or Clifford? Or Griffin or Clifford?
I think Griffin.
Griffin Fasella. Griffin. All right.
That guy is, his father is like, I don't know, higher up. He's a politician.
Well, Griffin's only 27 years old, so that makes sense. I'm looking at him now. He looks like he's 12. All right. I swear to God, good for him. So apparently he is the son of Vito Fasella, who is, I guess, the Staten Island borough president. So he's a finance worker, and from Great Kills, good for him. Well, I wonder how it's going to go.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. Frank Morano is going door to door trying to drum up support, but I don't think he was counting on this guy Griffin being his opponent.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be
another fellow who also got, let's say, prohibited from being on WABC is Curtis Sliwa.
Is he running for something?
He's running for mayor of New York.
No kidding.
He wants to be the Republican candidate. In fact, he was candidate 4 years ago, and he lost substantially to Adams.
Right.
But he talks against Adams and Cuomo every time he's on the air, but he can't be on the air now.
No, he absolutely cannot. So the Republicans haven't yet decided he's their guy, though, right? This time around?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's probably a primary.
Right. Something like that. Well, it keeps it interesting and certainly keeps WABC in the news.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. I'm so glad you called, and I hope you'll do it again.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right. So, how about that? All right. I can see that. Like I say, when you're on Camo X and WCCO and WGN, you got certainly enough listeners to make the show viable. But yeah, I just for the life of me didn't occur to me that was the case. Couldn't figure what are they going to do. And then I thought, well, maybe they want the competing candidates on the air. All right. Well, apparently not. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Linda in Richland Park. But Jimmy P in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley, how you doing?
All right, what's up?
I just want to thank you. A couple of weeks ago, I gave you a six-pack. The first three, you gave it to Sergeant Pappy.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I played him.
That's the point. You played him, and he's a good... He loves the WAP just like I do.
Yeah.
So the next day, you correct it, and you say, hey, I gave you, you know. So I just want to let you know I'm listening, and I got six more.
All right.
Let's
hear it. Let's hear it.
All right, number one is I just can't help myself.
Oh, okay.
By the Cool Gent.
Yeah.
Number two is Emily by the Turks.
Okay.
Number three is Lonely Nights by the Hearts.
Okay.
Number four is Each Night by Rochelle and the Candles.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And five is A Ship of Love by the Nutmegs.
Okay.
And how about Valerie by the Starlights?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll cry during it. That'll be the best part. All right.
Yeah. All right, Rob.
All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
And I just want to let you know I'm still listening.
I'm so glad. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, Valerie, it's great. The guy cries at every song. All right. Just in case you're wondering. Linda is in Richland Park. Linda, thanks for waiting. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. I'm so glad that you accepted my call.
Always.
I was listening when your show first came on, and you had read an article about this foster parent set on this boy.
Yes.
And she murdered him.
Yes.
She just murdered the little boy. And I'm just thinking, what kind of foster parents do we have now?
Well,
they don't have any love for these children. They just put them in their homes, try to get a check,
yep.
And they treat them, a lot of them, not all, because I was a foster parent for about 20 years. And I'm just saying, she murdered him, and that broke my heart.
Because
if she knew she was going to kill him just by sitting on him with her weight, I think she should get the chair. I really do. And the first thing with foster care is you have to prove yourself to be worthy to get these children. You have to prove that you're going to have a loving care home and a secure home for the kids. And she evidently didn't have any of that. So I'm saying, what agency would hire a person like that?
Oh, I know.
I just couldn't understand it. And I feel she should get the chair. I really do.
Well, I would agree. She won't get that, but they're certainly arresting her, and they will try her. I don't know how they'll decide on the charges. I don't think there's premeditation, unfortunately, and you can't charge them with absolute abject stupidity. But she will. She has been arrested, believe me. And
right. Well, she murdered him by sitting on him. She knew that little boy could not keep his breath. You know what really got me? Made me call in. This is the third child murder I heard within the week. One little boy, he got stabbed to death because this guy didn't like the way how his father was treating him. He was some type of from a different country, some religion or another. And the guy was renting the house out, and the landlord stabbed a little boy to death. I think he was about 11. And then the day they said another little boy, their parents, that the people heard the little boy screaming. He said, "I won't be dead anymore. Just please stop hitting me. Stop hitting me. I'll be a good boy." That's what he was saying. I'll be a good boy. And they killed that little boy. That was the mother and father.
Yeah.
In 1 week, these three kids, what are they doing? So I just thought about it. I said, you know what? We don't have enough love.
It is really bad.
We don't have enough love for these children or for people. And I thought about it. I said, maybe I just play that song for everybody can listen and just share some love. You know, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes?
Uh-huh.
The name of that song is, what's the name of that song? Wake Up Everybody. Yeah.
Okay, sure. I can do that.
And the other song that I like, I can't think of who made it, but he sings it. Now that we found love, what are we gonna do with it? I can't think who made that song. But that's what we need to spread the love. We need to spread the love. People need to start thinking, because America's not, it's not the same as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
People are killing each other like crazy.
Now, on Now That We Found Love, are you talking about the Heavy D song from 1991?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Heavy D song.
Yeah.
Heavy D
and the Boys, 1991. Now that we found love, what are we going to do with it? Now that we found love, what are we going to do with it?
I thought about that. We need to have more love in this country. We need to love one another. I was a foster parent. I'm not going to hold you on the line long. I was a foster parent, and I fostered many, many, many different children. Every kid came to my house. They cried, so they didn't want to leave. They loved me just that much. I had every race of child you could name, every race. And I had them from 1 day, 2 day old, up until I think about 13. And every child came to my house, was welcome. They know they was welcome. They were loved. And I shared their love. And a lot of them, they say, if I ever get in foster care again, I want to come stay with you. And the other little girl said, oh, no, we don't want to go to foster home. She's punchy. She said, we love you, Miss Linda, but we don't want to ever be back in foster care. And it just hurts my heart, because I know a lot of people that on my mother's street, when I was a young kid coming up, everybody on our street adopted a child or kept a child, and none of them was ever abused.
Yeah.
And we had that love, but people don't have that love. They don't care anymore.
It's gotten bad. There are too many people who are just doing it for the money, and there are so many kids in need, and so many social workers who have so many cases, there's no way they can really oversee them all. The system clearly is broken, and of course, it was really developed and increased so much when they decided they were going to do away with the idea of the orphanages and some of the abuse that was going on in that. But unfortunately, over the years, we've created an equal, if not greater, number of abuse cases, and you're right. Nobody seems to have the time to dedicate to make sure that these things don't happen. And the reality is that I run across these things several times a week. And the only reason I don't bring them all up is because it's so depressing. But on this one, when the mother sat on his head and neck and then was surprised he was dead, she's 340 pounds. I'm like, what are you thinking? You know, I can't imagine. Right. Just can't imagine.
She murdered him. That's
yes, she did.
She murdered him.
Yes, she did. And I believe
she deserved to go to prison.
Right. I believe that the maximum they're thinking of charging her with is 6 years. Yeah.
She needs life. If you ask me, all the children that I had under my care, I loved them. They loved me, and I treated them as if I had them, if they were my children. And my caseworkers and the agency, they always bragged on me how well I kept the children. I loved them, and my own kids loved them too.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
We need more love.
That's right. We need more Lindas is what we need, Linda. All right. I will get you Heavy D and the Blue Notes, not together, of course. All right.
Okay. And then maybe one day next week, I'd like you to play some of Mary Wells' songs and give me the history of Mary Wells when you get the time.
And what a horrible case of what Berry Gordy did to her, but I will talk about it.
Okay, because she married a guy, what was his name?
We'll talk about all that, but that paled compared to the raw deal she got at Motown. All right, we'll talk about it.
All right,
thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, there were some good post-Motown stuff. Not as big, obviously, but a couple really nice things. Maybe we'll play those, too. All right, so we've got Dave in Round Lake and Dave in LaSalle and Cindy in Chicago. And hopefully you, too, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Heavy D and the Boys, 1991. The album was Mr. Music Hits, number 9. All right, so it was Aaron Hall who was the featured artist on that. And we'll get to the Blue Notes as well. Different, but fun. And we have another half hour. Talk to Dave in LaSalle and Dave in Round Lake and Cindy in Chicago and James on the South Side and you if you want it. But right now we'll check out the news on WGN Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the
radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Melinda McFadden and Whitehead wrote it, 1975 on Philadelphia International. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, 888-876-5593. That's 8888 Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Dave in LaSalle. All right, Dave, welcome back.
Hi, Raleigh. I'm a little hoarse. I'm drinking some tea with some honey in it, so I hope I can last long enough to give you my request.
All right, what is it?
You'll have to go into your vault for this if it's in there. It's a Harry James song. It's called A Man with a Horn.
Oh, my God. Okay. I've got it.
Okay, man. Well, you have a good evening, and I always enjoy your show.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. Bye. So, yeah, that is the Wayback Machine, and we can do that. Go in Mama's Closet. All right. So what do we have with Dave in Round Lake? Welcome back to WGN Radio. And we lost Dave in Round Lake. I think he was going to tell us about Frank Morano. Interesting. And wish him the best on the election. But boy, when your boss is supporting your opponent, those must be interesting staff meetings, don't you think? All right, so we've got Tubby in Chicago. Welcome back, Chubby. How are you? Have we lost Tubby? Tubby. There you are.
Tubby.
All right, Tubby.
You know what? Yeah, somebody used to call me Maggie, and I only let one person call me Maggie from Margaret. Margaret's my real name. How are you, darling?
All right, how about yourself?
Okay, first I got to go backwards. At Antioch, it was Cecil Taylor on campus, and he was working with Betty Carter. Remember I was telling you those people, he was teaching them how to produce and the rights to their own music. That's them two characters, first of all. Then Herb Kiss, a cool gent. Wow.
Yeah.
I invested in Comcast at one time, right? I hate to call their name out, but whatever. I had triple play because, you know, I knew people all over. So I had a Princess landline phone laying around the house.
Yeah.
And my phones kept breaking. At that time, being homeless, I couldn't keep a phone, so I went and invested in that, you know, internet, everything. Okay, so when he died, a couple other people, too. What I had was that other little TV, the one that you showed me how to work.
Yeah.
And what was so cool is when they had all these different interviews, especially for him, people that had, you know, all the different shows.
Yeah.
And people were talking about him on all different platforms. I was able to take one tape and get everything, all the people's stuff. Then I would go to my little desk and put in a tape and start copying. I was Sable, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know how you say the show. And then I had all of the people's, all the stuff that people were talking about, Herb and stuff,
on
one cassette, which was really cool. I hate that I can't do that anymore because they don't even have the VHS stuff. Okay, what else I want to say? So you got Herb Kent, I love. Richard Steele.
Oh, yes.
Richard Steele, cool cat, really nice guy. Larry Smith.
Uh-huh.
Did you know Larry Smith?
I know his name. I don't know him. He was at BEZ for forever, and as well as Richard Steele, of course. So, yeah, very well aware, but didn't know him. Now, I did know Herb Kent.
Yeah, Herb Kent was just like, Herb Kent, I got a story for you. My mother's boyfriend was a police officer, and he was undercover. He worked at Marshall Fields as a black man years ago. But they used to have those two dances, Wendell Phillips, and they had one on the west side, one on the south side. I never forget when the Temptations showed up one night.
Oh, wow.
You should have seen me trying to pull that man. The ring almost came off. It was just like being able to be backstage.
Yeah.
Because he was one of the police officers that went to these dances. But see, that's what I was telling you about writing, lest we forget. You know, people... Nowadays, they don't know nothing about getting a Jenny cab on Cottage Grove and going to the Regal. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
That was like everyday stuff when you went to the Apollo to the Regal Theater. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was a way of life. It wasn't just, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. You
know, I don't take it for granted at all. So I had Larry Smith. I used to go down there in the middle of the night, and he would have live performances. He would have cats come in and jam in the middle of the night at the studio downtown the Loop. And we were hanging out one night, too, and Eddie Harris and our crew, and at the new, you ever heard of the new apartment lounge? Hello?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you there?
Yeah, I am here. Are you there?
I lost you.
You know you haven't. I'm right here.
Hello?
Hello, hello. What's going on?
I lost you.
Oh, no. All right, Tubby, I hear you. So if you want to call back, do that. Absolutely. Yes, you betcha. A new apartment lounge, of course, long gone. But yeah, that was, I think it was on 79th Street. And yeah, but anyhow, that was the place. All right, so maybe Tubby will call us back. We will find out. I will bid her farewell for the moment. And I will talk to Marshall in New Orleans. All right, Marshall, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, hello. How are you, Raleigh?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm all right. It's great to talk to you again. And I wanted to say that I agree with what the callers were saying about Joe Romano, about the ABC and not being on that station, but being on the network. That's all what Joe said, too. And so it's kind of interesting listening to Joe because it's so New York. And it's kind of a real shock going from your show to Chicago, and then all of a sudden, boom, we're in New York City
Yeah,
and
Frank,
talking about New York politics.
Frank Morano, right, exactly. Not Joe.
That's right, right.
Yeah, okay.
And I was going to ask you, Raleigh, when I was working in radio up in central Wisconsin years ago, I got this call from a man named Dex Card, and he wanted me to work for his radio station in Kenosha.
Okay.
And I asked around, and some people said, no, don't work for him. He was the manager of the Buckinghams, and they didn't get a good deal. Don't go there. But do you know the story about what that was about? I never heard really the story.
No, but I guess it was. Was it he had LIP when you were when he called
yes.
you?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. but no, I don't know. But you know who I'll ask? I will, and I've got to have him on the air again. I'll ask James Holvey, who wrote all that stuff.
Oh, okay, interesting. Some people said that the Buckinghams apparently they fired him, and there was this kind of, you know, bad feeling, and I always wondered what that was about.
You know, I don't know. There were obviously he was big, Dex, of course, everywhere, including LS, and you know whether it was local groups like the Cryon Chambers or the Buckinghams. You know, there were a lot of promotions and stuff like that. But I do not have any inside information. But you can bet I will ask. Now we can't ask Dex anymore because he's been dead about 6-7 years. So
I saw that.
But I think that Jim Pilster, you know, for the Cryon Chambers. Now there's a character. I think he has talked about him, but I probably didn't pay enough attention. But I will find out.
That would be great to know. And I always, as always, enjoy your show and love what you do. And you know what's kind of interesting too is I remember hearing on WLS years ago when Larry Lujack was on and they were doing a reunion of all the old disc jockeys, and Larry Lujack was playing like this little snippet of Dex Card,
right?
And Dex Card apparently didn't run his board very tightly, and there was a gap in there, and then Larry Lujack, like, interrupted it and said, "Tight board, Dex."
No, by the way, when you say didn't run his board, he didn't run his board at all. I think all of that was union. This was, I remember, certainly when Top 40 was really coming into a lot of these markets early on in the 50s, one of the biggest problems was that the AFM was involved in terms of you had to have this AFM board up, but very often the guy was 72 years old and only liked big band. And so, you know, you can bet there was enough dead air to drive a truck through. And this was a constant problem. And while I don't know firsthand, I can't imagine that LS didn't have the same setup. I'd be very surprised that they were combo, that the jock was running his own board. But I guess I could look that up too, probably.
Yeah, and to end the story, after about 2 or 3 weeks, I didn't accept the job with Dex Card, but a man called me John Lund from WNBC, and he was now a consultant, and he was flying over, and he heard me on the radio, and he wanted to talk to me, and I thought it was a joke, and I hung up on him, and he called a few more times, and he hired me when he was doing some work in Milwaukee, but he was a very interesting person, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's good. Good. You must have been really good on the air. You were attracting a lot of attention.
Well, I don't know, but it's interesting.
Yes,
well,
it is.
Well, thanks, Raleigh. You have a good night.
You
take
too.
Care.
Thanks for calling, Marshall.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean, people like that don't come out of the woodwork to court you if you're not good, so I assume that Marshall was. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Cindy. We'll get to James. And if you call, we'll get to you on WGN Radio.
If I didn't
ever dime, and I didn't take the time to play the jukebox. Oh, Saturday night would have been a sad and lonely night for me. And if you weren't standing there, ruby lips and golden hair beside the jukebox, oh, I'd have lost my chance to hold you while you danced with me. Mm-hmm. While the records turn and turn, we dance and learn our hearts at yearn for this. Neath the moon we walk and walk and talk of love, and then we kiss. Now with every sweet caress, oh my darling, how I bless that little jukebox. Oh, love songs that they sing wouldn't mean a single thing, even though you're standing there, ruby lips and golden hair, if I didn't have a dime and I didn't take the time.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's the flip side. Gene Pitney, if it didn't have a dime, played the jukebox. 1962 on Music Core, and that was the flip of Only Love Can Break a Heart. And Phil Medley, the guy who wrote Twist and Shout, wrote that with Burt Burns, as B is in Bang Records, that one. Yes, Andy in Norwich requested that, and now he's heard it. So, 888-876-5593, 888-88-Raleigh. And we have, let's see, Steve in Western Springs. What's up tonight, Steve?
Raleigh, first I've got to tell you, your knowledge of radio is so encyclopedic. When you rattled off the bio of Gary Owens, you did that. I always think you're looking at a laptop. You couldn't have been looking at a laptop.
No, I wasn't. I worked with Gary, so yeah.
I'll tell you the truth. I wish every night you would talk about nothing but music and radio. And you're very nice to people who call in with health maladies. That's very, very kind of you. But music and radio are your power alleys. You're absolutely unbelievable.
Well, you got to call in more often, because I don't start that discussion, but I'll always answer the questions.
Regarding Dex Card.
Yes.
I'll go through this as quickly as I possibly can. And I know you know a lot of this. In 1964, he came to Chicago to replace Bob Hale at WLS.
Right.
He had the Silver Dollar Survey. Within a year or two, he had very hot dice. He was trying to expand income streams. So he was looking into presenting live acts, especially after all the success Bob Eubanks had with the Beatles out
right.
in L.A.
Yeah.
And talent management. And the Buckinghams were starting to get hot right around then.
Okay.
Including with kind of a drag by the fellow you mentioned, was
right.
Jim Holvey.
Yeah, he wrote it, Jim Holvey. And it was on Little USA Records, and it got so hot it went to Columbia. Columbia didn't even bother to change the label.
Is that true?
Yes, they just distributed it as USA Records.
Because for the Buckinghams, a critical association they made around that same time that led them deeper into Columbia, as you know, was Jim Guercio.
Right.
And then Guercio cut the deal with Clive Davis. He would produce Blood, Sweat, and Tears' second album if Davis would allow him to produce his pet project, which was the Chicago Transit Authority.
Right.
That became Chicago. Anyway, Dex Card, in terms of trying to do the Eubanks thing, he started his own thing called the Wild Goose. Now, are you familiar
yes,
with that at all?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, yes.
And he actually had a building in Waukegan in 1967 where he held the first ones.
Right, right. These are teen clubs, basically, like blacklight paint and all that kind of stuff. Yes, the Wild. There were more than one, obviously, but like you mentioned, that one on Belvedere in Waukegan, yes. It looked more like looks more like a transmitter shack.
Were you living in Chicago at that time?
No.
No, that's amazing you know that. The fella he was trying to emulate there was a guy down in Arlington Heights named Paul Sampson, who had the cellar.
Right, that was legendary.
Oh, staggering.
Yeah.
The house band became the Shadows of Night.
Right.
But he had people like The Who, Eric Clapton. And again, this is 1967, 68,
right.
So those acts needed a Chicago venue because they couldn't yet sell out arenas.
Right.
Anyway, the story I always heard about Dexcard and the Buckinghams, he thought the Buckinghams had massive potential. He almost went overboard in attempting to get them to sign with him as their talent rep. They instead got steered towards Guercio, Columbia. They had their run, and then for better or worse, they got superseded by other bands. Mm. Even though the Buckinghams didn't have horns, they featured horns on a lot of their recordings.
Mm-hmm.
So they got superseded by bands like Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Chicago, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, of course, for 1 year there, the Buckinghams were as hot as could be. They had like 5 national top 20 records and, you know, big hits and all that. And then it was just like, what happened to them?
Absolutely no question. And the thing is, to this day, if you listen to them, they were energized. There was a touch of innovation. They appeared to be fast-tracking to major stardom. And like you just said, all of a sudden, poof, gone.
Yeah.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears 2 came out with the 4 hit singles, and you can name all 4 standing on your head. And then Guercio in Chicago had that phenomenal run.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. Yeah, I've often wondered, and maybe when we have Jim on, I'll talk to him about that, because it shouldn't have ended as quickly as it did. I know they disbanded a few years later, but it was just like they have 1 year where it's phenomenal, and then that is it.
They had a tremendous sound.
Yeah, I thought.
I always felt the way they incorporated horns, and the lead singer was Tufano, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Dennis Tufano?
So, yeah.
They could almost play, quote-unquote, black. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and a variety of stuff, because Don't You Care sounded very different from Kind of a Drag, for instance. So it was across the board interesting stuff. Now, the one I played, which, tonight, not one of my favorites, but Dennis and John and Marty, Marty actually, I think, came a little later, but Nick Fortuna and Carl. They were, what were they, the Pulsations first, I think?
Pulsations, and I think Fortuna and G. Morrissey, weren't they in a band called the Centuries?
Yes, yes.
Wasn't that their, like, jumping, I mean, for those two.
Right, but the Pulsations were like the house band for a moment on All Time Hits, that thing that Channel 9 did for a while.
And the legend is, during that gig, the TV show on Channel 9, they wanted a new name, and a security guard said, what about the Buckinghams, like the Fountain?
Oh, that's great.
And it was that aha, oh, yeah, what a great idea.
Yeah.
So there they were. Hey, Riley, how did you know the original Wild Goose was on Belvedere Road?
You know, I think more than anything, because I have pictures of the cellar and pictures of that. And if you look at that location, like I say, it looks like an arsenal or a transmitter shack or something. It doesn't look like a teen club.
And there was a small Waukegan radio station not far away. And I can't think of what it was. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I'm trying to think. It was an AM radio station.
And I think it was like, obviously, back in that day, owned by an individual man.
Yeah.
Who somehow made decent money off primarily very local advertising.
Well, that's absolutely the way to do it. But yeah, yeah. Was it EBS?
I can't remember.
Yeah, okay. Was it 1220?
I think it was high up the dial.
Yeah, I think.
That was up there. There was a legendary all-night bar called the Wild Mouse.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was that 1220. Oh, John said the show is over. Call me again soon.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, well, I guess that's a wrap, isn't it? We thank Cindy and James and apologize that you didn't get on again, but we have tomorrow night. We have 3 big hours, 21 hours from now. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. I hope to hear from you tomorrow night right here on WGN Radio.